It is Today FM. Good morning to you. What I'm holding in my hand and about to let drop out of my hand is a thumping good read.
Once, that's a good intro.
Once Upon a Time, the new book from the brilliant and incredibly popular Ant and Dec, who, as you can hear, are in the background at the moment and on the line. And in case anybody wasn't paying attention in geography class on that day, the Tyne is a reference to your hometown in Newcastle. That is the river, isn't it?
It is the big river going right through Newcastle upon the Tyne. Yeah.
So the book takes everybody through the years of Biker Grove and PJ and Duncan, SMTV Live, CD UK, and all the way up to that beast that is I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And I'm delighted to say Ant and Dec are on the line now. So 30 years you guys are together.
Yeah, we only realised kind of towards the back end of last year. So we thought, oh God, we should do something to celebrate. So we thought, let's write a book about all the kind of scrapes we've been in and the shows that we've done and the periods of our career. And this is that. This is the book that looks back over 30 years. We kind of surprised ourselves when we realised it had been 30 years because it seems to have gone by in the blink of an eye. But we sat down, us two and one of our writers, Andy Milligan, and we started kicking some stories around and made each other laugh and started to write it down. So yeah, we've had a look back and had enormous fun doing it.
Very good. And so, I mean, the 30 years, Margaret Thatcher, it says on the start of the book there, and you very helpfully, by the way, you very helpfully say that Dex ones are in bold and Ants are in kind of italic.
Italic.
So when you're reading through the book, you know who's speaking, which is, I've never seen that technique before. Pretty good.
Yeah,
well done.
Thank you. Well, we wanted it to be more like a conversation, really, and then you can tell who's who very immediately. Yeah. And then once you kind of get used to that, then we find it flows quite nicely.
Right. Did you read it with a Geordie accent in your head, Ian?
I did.
That's a no.
And listen, I mean, like it says here, Thatcher was there, Charlie Haughey was over here, Vanilla Ice was the big international star with Ice Ice Baby and all that. Yeah. And over here we had a group called the Saw Doctors. You may not have heard of them, but
I know the Saw Doctors.
Yeah, brilliant. A very cliched question to get things going, and that is, interviewers ask this all the time. How did you guys first meet? Do you remember the day you first met together?
Oh, what a cliche.
Well, it's just cliche, isn't it? Yes, we do, and we write about it in the book because we met on the set of Biker Grove. And Dec had joined in 1989 in the first series.
I was one of the original cast members.
One of the original members, the OGs.
The OGs, original Grovers.
But they probably needed to liven it up then, is that what you're saying?
They needed to liven it up, Ian. That's right.
I disagree.
In walks, stage left, PJ the DJ. So yeah, we met and it was all the cast got together. And we don't really remember each other from that day. I mean, I was ever so nervous, which came across as probably quite grumpy looking, if I'm honest, you know.
Right.
And, It did. I can confirm it came across as grumpy.
And Dec's quite a small chap, so he got lost in the melee, really. But our two characters got to know each other on the show and we were in lots of scenes together. So then we started hanging out together and then we'd go and watch Newcastle United because we're both Newcastle fans and we'd like go to the cinema and we're interested in the same kind of music, so we'd go and see gigs. So quite
You fell in love, basically.
We fell in love.
It was a love story.
Our friendship developed.
And listen, you then became superstars in the world of music with their two characters, PJ and Duncan.
Superstars are stretching it a bit.
Well, I mean, the Backstreet Boys supported you. That's pretty good,
they
going.
They did.
Well, the Backstreet Boys supported us on one of our UK tours, and I remember we went and watched their rehearsal. Well, actually, we went and watched their performance, and the audience was in, and all these girls were kind of not really knowing who they were. They didn't really scream at them, and we thought, and I remember turning to Dec going, these boys haven't got it, they won't last. Cut to 100 million albums later and we finished our record deal.
They were on stage, little did we know, they were on stage looking in the wings going, those two will never last.
Exactly.
And thank God we weren't talent spotters.
Do you think PJ and Duncan would have survived in the world of Twitter and, you know, Facebook and Instagram and all that?
I don't know. PJ Duncan barely survived without Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. So I'm not sure.
But did Let's Get Ready to Rumble, that was a number one, wasn't it?
Well, it was eventually. When we first released it in 96, 95?
94.
We got to number 9 in the UK charts, and it took 19 years later when we performed the song on our show, Saturday Night Takeaway, that it kind of perked everybody's interest again, and, yeah. and it went to number one.
Finally went to number one 19 years later.
So we got there in the end.
I think it's the slowest climb to number one from number nine that's ever been.
And you worked in Panto as well, which that's a bit of an experience, isn't it? It's hard work.
You did, Dec, didn't you?
We both did, yeah.
I was there too.
We were in Panto in 1998 in Sunderland Empire. And as for anybody who knows, being two lads from Newcastle, going to perform in Sunderland was a bit hairy at the best of times. That's a bit of a rivalry going on there.
Even the kids throw bottles, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So we went there. But it was a really good time for us because we just started doing Saturday mornings. And we thought we were a bit too cool to be on Saturday mornings. And then we went and did this pantomime when we realised who our audience was, who, you know, was full of these kids that were in the theatre audience. So we quickly kind of established who was our audience, and it made us really focus our efforts on Saturday mornings, and the show became better for it.
Well, actually, I back in the day, I gave it up in 1990. I used to do children's TV over here in Ireland. Dempsey's Den, Zig and Zag. Do you remember Zig and Zag?
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Yes. You're lying, boys.
No, we do. We do.
I think we came on Dempsey's Den.
Did you?
Yeah. I'm sure we did.
But we met Zig and Zag.
We obviously didn't make much of an impression on it.
Obviously.
But we met Zig and Zag quite a few times when they moved over to the Big Breakfast.
That's right. Yeah, very good. Anyway, they started off there. So, I mean, it is an interesting thing about trying to connect with kids, isn't it? They enjoy funny noises, farts, that kind of stuff,
farts.
You know.
That was basically what we learned from Panto, was just go back and fart. Yeah. And kids will love it.
Toilet humour is key. And slapstick.
Dec, you were in Dubai once, and a little boy came over to you and asked you for a selfie. And
This was Ant.
Oh, was it Ant? Oh, sorry, it was you. Yeah.
I'll tell you. Yeah, I was in Dubai, and it was New Year's Day, and I'd gone for a meal in a food court in a mall there. Yeah. And this boy came over and went, it's you. And I was like, oh, hi. And he went, you. He says, I saw you on YouTube. You're Susan Boyle Boy.
What?
Susan Boyle Boy. So it turns out he'd recognised me from that one clip of her audition where I turned to camera and go,
yes.
You weren't expecting that, were you? And so around the world, people kind of knew me as the guy who was with
Susan Boyle Boy.
Susan Boyle Boy. It's not the greatest nickname in the world, if I'm honest with you, and I'd like it to cease now.
Okay, right, fair enough. Now, you know, I saw that DNA. What's it called? DNA Journey. What a fantastic show that was.
Oh,
unbelievable,
thank you very much. But it was lovely to do.
Yeah, you're kind of part of the Irish takeover of British TV. I was just looking at Wogan, Norton, Dara O'Brien, Mrs. Brown's Boys, Graham and Arthur, on the Father Ted, Dermot Morgan, Frank Kelly, Laura Whitmore.
Taking over
and
the world.
And Ant
and Dec.
Irish guys. The lads.
that was fascinating. For me, I knew that I had heritage in Ireland. You know, my family, my mum and dad both from Ireland. So I knew that. But Ant was a little bit more, that was a bit more of a surprise for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I always thought I had more of a Scottish lineage. But, you know, it turns out that all my lot were from Drumkeeran. And there's still a lot of McPartlands there, even though they spell their name slightly differently than mine. I was talking to a lot of them in a pub, and one of them, and I said to one guy, and I was like, so you spell it with a D on the end? He was like, oh, well, I just fancy popping a D on there one day.
Yeah.
What? how am I going to find out my heritage if you're just popping D's
That's
on the end?
That's quite an Irish thing to do, though. Just pop a D every
just
now and again.
Just pop a D on. But I've been there back a couple of times now, and it's great.
I watched it there again just a few hours ago, right? And then I was trying to tell my wife and one of my kids, my son, about it, and I was nearly crying telling them about it. I'm a pretty cold-hearted person, to be honest with you. But it was just lovely, and I mean, I suppose that the twist in the whole thing was that Dec, you became emotional because the song that. Was it Anne McPartlin, who sadly has passed away, I believe, since?
Yeah, she has.
Mary. Mary. And so she sang this beautiful song, and this was for you, Ant. And then Dec started. You could see the camera was on you, and you were kind of filling up a little bit. Just for anybody who hasn't seen it, would you explain it?
Mary was a family member of Vance who we met on the day, and she was a bit of a singer, and we were in this bar, and the bar was packed with McPartlands. They were all cousins of Ant. There was 50 or 100 of them in this bar, and we went in.
It was a good-looking bar.
And Mary says, would you mind if I gave you all a song? We're like, oh, no, fantastic, that'd be great. And unbeknownst to any of us, she started singing Sleeve Gallon Braes, which was a song that we played at my dad's funeral in 2011 when he passed away. And it just absolutely floored me, and you could have heard a pin drop in this pub, and it was a real emotional moment. I'm getting goosebumps now just thinking about it again.
But oh, it was a beautiful piece of television, though. It really was.
He's from there, your dad, isn't he, Dec?
Yeah, he was born at the foot of Sleeve Gallon there. Yeah. So. It was amazing, and it was incredible. It was incredible to be there. But yeah, it made a great bit of telly as well, I suppose. Yeah.
We got the best welcome as well when we were filming the show. When we were travelling around Ireland, it was just a wonderful time. And we look back on it now, we're still with fond memories, because everywhere we stayed and everywhere we went, you know, people welcomed us, and you know, people were stopping cars and getting kids out, and we were having pictures with babies. It was like a presidential election. But it was really good fun.
It was most fun. Yeah, it was so good.
And I mean, I think that moment, that TV moment in Drumcaoin, it showed the not the bromance, but the actual the true kind of camaraderie that the two of you have for each other, and that you are true soulmates, because you were kind of looking out for each other as well, and outside the little chat outside afterwards beside the petrol pumps. It was lovely. It was really good.
Well, you know, that's the thing. We're friends first and foremost. You know, we're lucky to share this wonderful career together, but ultimately, you know, we're best friends, and we always will be. So there's a great love there and respect for one another. And I'm glad that, you know, that came across on the show.
And that's partly what we wanted for people to read in the book as well, is that ours has been a career and a 30-year adventure that has been built on a friendship. Not the other way around, you know, it hasn't been a friendship built on a career, because I think that's pretty stony ground. But we have had the most incredible 30-year career and journey, and to be able to do it with your best friend is a real dream come true. We know how incredibly lucky we both are.
Now listen, lads, I'm going to let you go. You've done it all: acting, TV, presenting, music making, quizzing. Have you ever done radio?
Only briefly. Haven't we?
We've done little bits, but we haven't done it extensively, no.
Okay. Well, we're going to put you on the spot here, right?
Go on.
Just to see if you guys would be as good. We've actually made up a jingle. Our people here, our engineers, have put it together. So this would be, you know, starting your show. And if the two of you together, just let us see what it would be like if you were on radio. Tell us who's going to be coming up. Tell us what time it is.
Right.
Tell us all that kind of stuff, okay? And then introduce Lizzo. Okay. So in other words, it ends with, but first, here's Lizzo. You ready?
Yeah.
Here we go, lads.
Today FM. The Ant and Dec Show on Today FM. Where are you, the lads?
What's coming up on the show? We've got lots coming up on the show today. This is Ant and Dec here for today. And we'd like to introduce you to Dec. I'm terrible at this, by the way. Say hi, Dec.
Good morning. It's 7 a.m. probably around that time.
What's the weather? It's raining.
The weather is raining outside. Coming up on the show, we've got Barack Obama, Pope Francis and Madonna. They've got some great guests for you.
But first, it's
Lizzo.
Okay, listen, Ant and Dec, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Once Upon a Time, and our story celebrating 30 years together on the telly. It is out right now in all good bookshops. And some of us too.
Thanks a lot.
See ya.
Cheers.